Hi, and welcome to NWR Newscast, Episode 11. I'm your host for this week, Neil Ronahan, and with me, as always, is CJ, Andy Gergen, and Zach. Who is your player one counterpart?
I thought I was CJ.
Are you CJ? So you're CJ? Well, I don't know who anyone is anymore.
Well, you're...
Supposedly,
you're
I'm Stewart. Stewart.
Because you're in college, and you have similar voices.
Well, no, Ford's the one in college, isn't he?
Oh, Ford. Yeah, well, screw it then. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, regardless, we're still searching for our Player One podcast analogs. If anyone out there knows what they are, let us know, because we probably are too biased to figure out who we are.
This is NWR Newscast, your official source for Player One podcast news and information.
We do not have an iPhone app.
No, we don't.
Yes.
Yet.
We should get one, though.
Yet.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. You know what would also be cool? We had a PAX panel, but that's only for our...
Oh, yeah.
That's for our big brother.
Yeah, I'm excited. I will get to watch that live.
I'm excited to listen to it later.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'm with Andy.
I'm really anxious for that. I figure we'll throw them a little plug here at PAX East on Friday night in the Wyvern Theater. I'm not sure of exactly the time. I think the schedule for everything should be going up soon on March 25th at PAX East in Boston, Massachusetts. Radio Free Nintendo, our Big Brother podcast, if you Big Sister, I don't know if it's a male or a female. Or
there are
what.
No women on the show.
Androgynous sibling podcast. They are having a panel, and I know Johnny, John, and James are all going to be on it. I don't think Greg's going to be able to make it because of the whole,
he lives far away.
Across the Atlantic Ocean.
Mike and Carl are going to be on there, too.
Yeah, I think Carl's going to be on it, and I think Mike Sklens, I'm not 100% sure about that,
yeah,
and maybe
I'm
other special guests.
Aren't they trying to get Billy?
Yeah. I'm very anxious to see this, and I'm glad that I'll just
I'm not
going to
be
that.
There, and I can't wait for it. I just want to see it later. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am too.
PAX is going to be a good time. I have my hotel booked for it.
The
so.
Perfect storm of awkward and awesome.
Yes. But anyway, moving on, speaking of a perfect storm of awkward and awesome, let's go to Zach's review of Dark Void Zero, which I guess the awkward would be the actual release of the game, and the awesome would be Dark Void Zero, the DSiWare download that Zach downloaded and is going to review.
I did. It is awkward, because the HD game has been getting pretty middling reviews.
Yeah, I played the demo for it. It didn't really seem too bad, but I can see where all the complaints come from.
Yeah.
The music's very good, though, and so is the music in the 8-bit one.
Oh, the music in the 8-bit one's great. It reminds me of, Mega Man.
Yeah.
Little Mega Man tunes.
Really, Capcom did a great job. I know we talked about this, I guess, two episodes ago when this came out on DSiWare, of how this is basically, it's not actually a lost game from the 80s or anything.
Right.
It was game, made this year, kind of like an ad for Dark Void. And it's modeled after, the old NES...
late
Capcom
era
games.
Capcom NES games, yeah.
I would say it kind of compares maybe some kind of combination of Bionic Commando and maybe a Metroid game or something.
Yeah, I see a little bit of Contra in there with the different weapon choices, too. But no, it's a fantastic game. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't say you should buy a DSi for it, but once you have a DSi, Andy, this should be the first game you buy.
It probably will be.
I mean, for $5, it's really...
Exactly.
There's nothing like it as... actually, I think Chronos Twins is supposed to be very good. I've been tempted to get that, but I don't think there's really anything like it on DSiWare.
No,
not at all. DSiWare, you have all these little puzzle games, and at this point, with all, we'll talk about, the latest Nintendo, puzzle-y title in DSiWare, I'm kind of burned out on those games at this point. There's too many little tower defense or puzzle games out there. There's
tower
not there's
defense,
not
art style,
platformers or
Solitaire
NES style game.
Or Sudoku.
Well, here's what it is. I'm not going to talk about what it is because I just posted a review in Track and hopefully it'll be up in the next few days. But it's how we've always wanted a virtual console on DSi. This is as close to that as we've come.
Yeah, because I know it doesn't really. It's not like Mega Man 9 where they actually stick to the constraints
of the
system. They spruce it up a little bit. It looks really nice.
It looks like a late-era NES game. I think where they kind of bring it into the modern age is there's a little bit of a tutorial. Your boss, Nikolai Tesla, tells you, like, oh, this is, you know, this is, you need to find these, and here's a locked door that you need to find a key card for.
Yep.
You know, back
and
in
show,
the...
There's a map on the top screen,
right,
which is very helpful.
And back in 1989, I mean, you wouldn't have had that, any kind of text to go along
yep.
with, you know, you would have been just like, go do stuff, figure it out. But
I love Tesla's his profile or whatever that they use for whenever he talks. It's just like,
yeah.
It looks like kind of like Dr. Wily.
That's
and,
exactly what I think. And
the bosses are
kind of Dr. Wily.
Yeah.
Although, you know, that's the one thing that if I had to complain about one thing about the game, it's that the boss repeats three times.
Oh, it's just the same boss all three times. I have it. I've only gone through like the first level and a half.
No, the boss just gets harder every time you fight
him.
Okay.
Zach, how does it use the second screen?
Map.
Cool.
Map of the stage. And there are three stages, and they're each stage is really well done. And
like,
it's very
large. I've only gone fully through the first one, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Each level is like an environment in Metroid Fusion.
Okay.
A little smaller, like that.
Definitely makes sense.
Does it feel like the game should be longer? Because, I mean, three levels doesn't seem like very much compared to, like, an old Mega Man or
Well, you know, it's $5.
Sure.
But, you know...
You can buy Mega Man on Virtual Console for $5, Zach.
Yeah, you can. It does feel a little... Honestly, it feels a little bit short, but it's a score-based game, so, you know, crank up the difficulty to medium next time and shoot through it, which I did. I'm currently playing
through
on hard.
Yeah, it's pretty damn hard, too.
Oh, hard mode is hard, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the enemies do a lot of damage to you on hard.
It's even hard on medium, I would say. Not...
Yeah, if you crank through it on easy to kind of get a feel for it, then medium
is
not
that
bad.
Yeah, that's what I found, is that actually I beat the first level on easy and medium, because I tried medium at first and got destroyed, and then played through easy and got used to the mechanics.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's pretty much like a one-note thing, and that, like, you're just doing the same thing in three levels, so it's just like...
Yeah, but the three levels are structured... You know, so differently that it feels like you're doing something different each time.
All right, that's good. It's just that the boss repeats. Which
which kind of sucks.
I was hoping that the bosses would get crazier, but that's unfortunate.
Yeah. No, you know, I don't mind it that much, but it's something.
Yeah.
It's still a $5 game. You know, it's a $5 game that's better than its $60 counterpart. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's like that. There was a tag like, put that on the box.
Yeah. Not on the HD box.
Make a box, ship it, put that quote in the box. It'll be an empty box.
There you go.
put it by the Patapon 2 box.
I really want that fake cartridge that they show at the beginning of the game.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be so cool. Andy, I don't know if you know this, but when you boot it up, you see a picture of an old NES cartridge. This is Dark Void Zero. And you blow into the mic to get the dust out.
I believe I heard about that on the Player One podcast. That's pretty cool.
Yes,
nice.
I have heard about that on that.
That's
podcast.
Pretty awesome. Like, it's
but it
cool
works
that
so well.
It's pretty cool that they're doing that. That's very, very good.
The younger
right,
generation
well,
won't get it. That makes me
Dark
sad.
Dark Void Zero review should be up soon. I assume it'll probably be well received. And on my end, I'm actually I'm reviewing a game that doesn't come out for another week. And I actually my review will be out, I believe, next Tuesday, the 16th. And that game is Ace Attorney Investigations Miles Edgeworth, which is the latest in the Ace Attorney series. The thing is, this time is that you're playing as a prosecutor instead of a defendant, which you know Phoenix Wright for all three of those games, and Apollo Justice for his, you know, one game in the sun. But Ace Attorney Investigations kind of toys with the formula, but not too much, in that, you know, you're basically doing the same things. You're investigating places and trying to come up with clues and everything, and then you'll have, instead of going to the courtroom, it'll be more like you'll run into someone and they'll give you a testimony, and then you have to poke holes in it when you're, you know, on location. And it kind of goes back and forth between these very, you know, like on the fly. There's not really a lot of downtime or anything, or like passage of time. It's all in the span of one day. What else is different in this game is that instead of, you know, just basically it's a point-and-click adventure, you actually can move the avatar on screen. So you'll control Miles Edgeworth and walk through, you know, an environment and, you know, look for clues and stuff like that. I don't really know what else to say.
Wait, you move the character, or do you just...
Yeah, there are part of the investigation parts in this game. You will move Miles Edgeworth around on screen through either asinine touchscreen controls or just using the D-pad.
Interesting. All right. That is something different, because the other ones are basically a painting on the screen, and you click stuff.
Yep. I mean, it's still, it's not like it's really that, you know, game-breaking or game-changing. It's, you're just doing the same thing, the same kind of things, just, like, through a different lens.
You know what I was surprised by, Neil, about this game was I learned about the terrorist level. That was weird.
Oh, yeah, the terrorist level.
That was strange. It's a weird choice.
Yes, and Miles Edgeworth, there's one scene where he has to pose as a terrorist with a bunch of Russians, and they go through an airport.
It's called No Edgeworth.
Yeah, No Edgeworth. But, I mean, it's really fun. I love the dialogue in these games. There's, like, just a lot of, like, very subtle humor in it. It's a really good game. But, I mean, if you didn't like Phoenix Wright, this isn't going to turn you. If you liked Phoenix Wright, if you liked Apollo Justice, maybe you were getting tired of all that. Hopefully this is a well-needed shot in the arm for the series. I think it will be. I think it is.
I would like more subtle humor in games.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost done with Assassin's Creed 2, and there's a few too many.
Mario!
Well, not that, you know. You need to find an outlet that's not vaginas, Ezio.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
They need a writer. Like, Ratchet and Clank is a good game that has not even subtle humor, not like humor that beats you over the head.
It's like Pixar-y humor.
Yeah. I mean, Ace Attorney, it's not like, you know, this is like amazing dialogue, but it's just, I mean, they're very well localized, very well translated. And, I mean, some of the humor is dumb. Like, they have, you know, but there's the character that shows up in pretty much every game that's Larry Butts. I mean,
nice.
Eyebrow there. But, I mean, there's more to it than that. And this is pretty much, like, what you would expect in the game. It delivers. It doesn't really let you down. It's the same thing, you know, five cases. The cases vary from long to even longer. It's like, I'm at the end of the third case right now, and I've probably put in, I don't know, 7 hours, maybe.
Oh, that's
a random number.
That's
decent. I've never actually played an Ace Attorney game before, so I don't really have.
Although, of course, these 7 hours are also like I'm watching a TV show while playing the game, because it's one of those games.
That's what I did with Dark Void for largely. They're, Ace Attorney games are kind of graphical text adventures.
Yeah, that's kind of my impression I've always got. I've never been super interested in them, other than they get talked about a lot, so I kind of like to play them just so I have an idea of what people are talking about. But
there's not really anything like them right now on the market.
Are they funny? Is that one of the appeals?
Also like it's kind of weird because they're pretty funny, and then it'll just be like someone just gets shot.
Right. It's like a soap opera.
There's some really like dark things that happen in this game, and it's just like kind of played so like humorously. Like every character has some sort of tic on screen, and I mean, I they even make fun of the fact that like they really only have like one character model for everyone. I know there was one in the first Phoenix Wright game where I think there's like a waiter who is perpetually holding like you know a dish out, and I think they actually make a crack about how you know. Yeah, he just has the one character
portrait,
and it'll show up on the stand with the waiter dish.
Yeah.
But like every character has their little tic that they have. Like there's one guy in the first case who will, you know, he has a jacket that he's wearing, and like he'll be saying dialogue and just do the jacket back and forth, and then his dialogue will stop, and if you just leave it there. He'll just continually be moving the jacket back and forth. And it's just like, there's a lot of humor like that. It's
cool.
And then there's really dark stuff that happens where, you know, people will be, you know, they'll stab people and then you'll have to prove that they did it and then they'll be funny. But.
Well, the new ones on WiiWare, or the old ones on WiiWare, so I think I'm probably going to pick it up one of these days.
Although, the one thing that I think this probably got brought up a lot more when the series first came out. This will be my last point here. They kind of market, make this, it's even more, I guess, apparent to me now that it's not in a courtroom, that it's basically like a fighting game. Because you'll be, like, poking holes in these people's story, and it'll have these, like, quick cuts, and, like, when you, like, poke a hole in their story, like, the screen will flash like you just punched them. And then at the end, like, if once you, like, prove that someone did it, you'll just hear them, like, go, like, no! Or not hear them, read them, go, no! As, like, the screen, like, flashes, and it's like you just beat a boss.
That's funny.
It's very much, you can tell that, like, it's made by people who make other video games.
That's great.
That is
fun.
Cool.
I mean, I really like it. It doesn't reinvent the wheel or anything, but it's definitely, I mean, if you're a fan of the series, you'll be a fan of this. And if you haven't gotten into the series yet, you probably should play the other ones first, as, you know, supporting characters come up and come along. But in all honesty, I don't really think it's a requirement to play that. It's just that it'll be better if you have.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
So, Andy, you've been reviewing Shirin the Wanderer for Wii, which came out this week, and I think you just received it, right?
Yeah, I got this game in the mail today, and I played it for about an hour to an hour and a half before we recorded tonight.
So are you going to be joining the NWR Mystery Dungeons Anonymous group?
Is that the group of people who hate them or group of people who love them?
I don't think we have anyone on staff who loves them.
Yeah, I don't think we have anybody on staff who actually likes
Luke
them, right?
Left, so we don't have anyone who likes Mystery Dungeon games.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, it's hard to say this early into the game. I didn't hate what I played. I thought it was actually pretty fun. I'm not a big fan of RPGs in general, and it's not because I don't like them. It's just because I find them to be a bit overwhelming most of the time. I tried playing Fallout 3 about a month ago, and I had been putting it off because I just didn't think I would like it, but I finally decided to give it a shot, and I was right. And the things I didn't like about it were just being overwhelmed by too many choices, being given lots of items that didn't do anything, and having to make that distinction for myself. Like, the game tells you can only carry so much weight, and then proceeds to hand me a plunger that I received from a loot cabinet. I don't need a plunger. I mean, I know I don't need a plunger, but who the hell knows if I'm going to need a wrench? You know, they
exactly.
Give
Well, that's a Western RPG for you. That's what they do.
Yeah. Like, I respect the Western RPG. It's just that it's not for me. Like, I'd much rather play like a classical JRPG than something like Fallout. Yeah. Not because I think they're bad games, but just because it's not what I'm into.
Yeah. So I
got sold on Fallout 3 at PAX, and I bought it on day one. I played it for like 10 hours, and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing.
I put about 5 hours into it, and I enjoyed it, but it's just like it's not for me. And I did with Oblivion. I played a lot of Oblivion too.
The same game.
It's just like, yeah, it's just I got like halfway through, and I'm just like this. Yeah. I played a lot of it, and I enjoyed it, but it's just like
it's exhausting. Is what
yeah.
It is.
Well, I tend to like the idea of RPGs more than actually playing them through. I can't tell you the number of times I played the first like 6 hours of an RPG only to fall off. I've never been
to
a fantasy game, but I've gotten
so
to the
often.
End of like two of them. So you know, I wasn't expecting to love this game, but I got it and I played it for a little while, and I thought, you know, it's not too bad. You know, one of the things that it does that immediately appeals to me is it gives me an on-screen map, and it tells me where the exit is. It tells me where I've explored.
That's
it tells
nice.
Me where the enemies are approaching. There's no guesswork. I'm not trying to keep track of 1,000 things just because, I mean, the exploration part of it is fairly simple. You walk until you reach a room, and then you explore the room, and you can tell where you are in the room, and it's just very, very easy. It is grid-based, like, you know, old, like 16-bit old-school RPGs, so it's not like the environments are very complex. There's lots of stuff to keep track of in terms of the way your characters are faring. One thing you have to keep track of is the amount of food that your characters are eating, which I didn't even figure out where to look on the screen for that for the first two-thirds of the first dungeon I was in. But it didn't matter because I didn't run out of food. Your characters heal on their own as they're walking, so it's not that big of a deal. Now, understand, I'm playing it on easy right now because I didn't want to get discouraged right away. There's an easy and there's a normal, and this game
is known.
I'm
pretty sure that the only difference between easy and normal is that I think when you die on easy, you keep all your items,
yes.
And if you die on normal, then you lose everything. That's the only difference from
that's
as far as I know.
My understanding.
Well, it's a mystery
as well.
Dungeon for you.
But I'm gonna play a little bit on normal at a certain point too, just to make sure that that's really the only difference. Of course, before I write the review up, this game is known for being difficult. This genre is known for being difficult.
The series,
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
Being difficult.
So you know, I found the first dungeon to be incredibly easy. But that's the first dungeon, so we'll see. But I liked it. You know, the actual exploration and combat was kept so simple that I didn't really care that I had to keep track of, you know, how my items were wearing and you know, the inventory was filling up. And, you have a shared inventory between all of your characters.
Alright, so you have... how many characters do you have in your party right now? Is it just Sharon?
Just two. I have two. Sharon and Sensei.
Sensei? Okay. I think you have three at one point. I don't know who the third character is, but...
And I know you can control their movements separately or together. Yeah. If you control them separately, then it goes back and forth between the two, which is a little frustrating.
It's very handy for boss battles.
Yes, exactly. I've been through one boss battle so far, and I definitely switched it like that for boss battles. But on the whole, I'm going to say I'm kind of enjoying it. I need to get a lot more into it before I can really make up any kind of like decision on it, but I definitely wasn't overwhelmed the same way I was by something like Fallout or in the past by Oblivion or any of those. So I'm liking it. I will say that the translation in the game goes back and forth between being irreverent and really like over the top serious. Like you walk around in the first town you come to and half of the people like quote peril to you, like, oh, they'll read off like a 3 or 4 verse of a Japanese poem about the end of the world. And then the other thing will comment about how cute your pet ferret is.
I love the pet ferret. Nice. Yeah. I know, because I read a preview for this, and like I saw like the opening video for it, and it's just like all from the ferret's perspective.
I think the game is going to like as it goes on take on sort of a maybe like a satire of Japanese of like feudal Japan. It's hard to tell so far, but it kind of looks like it's leaning that way. Like it definitely has the feudal Japan environment, but at times it just really breaks from it and seems to like poke holes in it. So we'll see. I don't know. But yeah,
I know
so
Atlas's localization team is usually pretty good. So I imagine hopefully that holds up.
Yeah, that's about all I have to say about it. Next time we talk, I'll have a little bit more to say about it.
Nice. All right, awesome. So let's move on to the news, and we're going to kick this off by talking about everyone's favorite rodent, Sonic the Hedgehog, which Project Needlemouse has been, you know, clarified more. It's Sonic the Hedgehog 4. It's going to be an episodic game. Episode 1 is coming this summer. It's coming to WiiWare, Xbox Live, and the PlayStation Network. It stars Sonic only, supposedly. I think there's been some kind of murmurs about downloadable content and having, like, Knuckles and Tails unlocked that way. It takes place after Sonic and Knuckles. Is it a return to form? And who the hell is even developing this game? I think those are the two big questions. What do you guys have to say about it?
It's a return to form as long as Sonic doesn't say anything.
And there are no silly friends.
Yeah, no dialogue, and I'll be perfectly happy with this game.
I mean, I know, because a lot of people, from what I've been reading, is that, you know, Sonic did kind of return to form. Like, Sonic Advance was a very, very good game.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What happened throughout that series, I think there were 3 Sonic Advance games, and then it went to, like, there was, like, Sonic Rush.
Sonic Rush was really good.
And from what I remember about those, I know I played the Sonic Advance and Sonic Rush, which was the first DS one. And I remember that the level design in Sonic Rush kind of sucked. Because it would just be the kind of things where, like, you'd be going really fast and there'd just be a bottomless pit. And that just seemed to happen in almost every level that I played.
Hmm.
And I feel like the real big thing with this is who's developing it. Because I think you need to get someone, you know, along the lines of, like, how Mega Man 9 wasn't developed by, like, you know, the remnants of Capcom who made it then, because a lot of those people left, a la Sonic Team, how that's a shell of its former self. And, I mean, you need to get something like IntiCreates, who developed Mega Man 9 and I assume are developing Mega Man 10. Get someone who's, you know, people that are familiar with the 2D way of designing games and get them to do it. Do something like New Super Mario Bros. Wii or DS, in which, you know, I don't know exactly how they were developed. I'm pretty sure that was a new team led by people who had worked on the series, you know, however long ago. And that's what they need to do. They need to get someone who worked on Sonic and Knuckles has to be a big part of this game.
Absolutely.
Question from the back.
Yes.
Is anyone else worried about this episodic thing? I'm a little worried about it.
I mean, I would be if it weren't for the fact that, I think the episodic thing is kind of like an afterthought to me, in all honesty. I think if, like, Sonic 4 Episode 1 comes out and it's, you know, if it's, like, 4 zones or whatever, like, if it's a solid experience, I don't really care if it's episodic. If it's shit, then they sure shit better fix it by Episode 2.
Yeah.
I tend to think that it's sort of a test in the waters. If episode one does well, they'll put out more. I don't think it'll bomb. I think it's a foregone conclusion that it'll do well enough to deserve that.
It's going to sell well. I don't know if people are going to be happy after they buy it.
It allows them to make corrections based on feedback. If a lot of people are complaining about one specific part of the gameplay, it allows them to say, okay, well, we'll tweak that for episode two.
Well, I think that's what's happened with the Beat Trip series, right?
Yeah, the Beat Trip series. I know there was kind of a, basically checkpoints were added into Beat Trip Void because of the kind of negative reaction to the long levels in Beat Trip Beat and Core. And the only reason it wasn't changed for Core was because they were so far along in development already.
Yeah. Readers respond.
All right, Zach, you can take this one from Brood Wars.
All right, well, Brood Wars says of this Sonic 4 issue, I've never been a Sonic fan, but this is an excellent move by Sega and a great addition to WiiWare. Now, I picked this quote because, first, I've never been a Sonic fan myself, but I am curious about this game. But also, I think... Neil, you said this before. WiiWare is really turning into a great freaking service.
Oh my God! I think it was somebody's 2009 list or something. There was kind of a what's hot, what's not thing, and what's not, WiiWare was on it. And
what the hell?
It's why there's certain outlets out there that I'm just like, do you even play games?
Yeah.
Because really, WiiWare has been more consistently solid than, I think, Xbox Live Arcade or PSN. I mean, if you think about it, they have maybe not good releases every week, but there's, at this point we're having, 3 to 4 releases a week. Okay, maybe early in the year it was 1 or 2. But even still, it's like you're getting really quality titles. Okay, Shadow Complex is a really good game. What about Nyx Quest? Okay, Nyx Flowers, this artistic beauty. You have World of Goo. You have... Blaster Master, you have Contra Rebirth,
the whole Rebirth series.
Yeah. Even the Gradius one. I've heard the Gradius one isn't amazing, but even still, there's quality games coming out on a regular basis, and Cave Story isn't even out yet, and Cave Story comes out.
Cave Story,
that if anyone wants to say that PSN or XBLA are better, then they're high.
I think the WiiWare is overall probably a better service. Now, granted, I don't have an Xbox, so I can't speak to Xbox Live, but
there's a lot of good stuff on XBLA. I think PSN, just because I don't think they have the biggest pool of games. I think there's a lot of quality titles there too. I mean, they have Quest for Booty, which is it's a Ratchet and Clank game.
Oh, well, that's true.
All the Twisted Pixel stuff is on PSN.
Pixel Junkie.
All
the Twisted Pixel stuff is on Xbox Live. Too many pixels.
Yeah, there's pixels everywhere. There is definitely good exclusives across all three platforms. In fact, I would probably argue that the digital platforms this generation have almost been more interesting than the retail platforms.
I totally agree with that.
It's the proposition of buying a $10 game, and even if it's not super long, we're going to talk about this more later, but Blaster Master, I've been playing that, and I have a feeling that that game's going to be about as long as a $60 game, and it was $10.
Yeah. So the reason I picked that quote is just to point out that WiiWare really is a great service, and I'm happy to see all these, and not just games, but all these retro renaissance games.
Well, yeah, it's like you and I were talking in an email thread, Zach, about how the DS and the Wii are almost more than anything else they're doing right now. They're catering to gameplay styles that haven't been around since 1987. Even the first party stuff from Nintendo is Punch Out, Excitebike World Rally, Mario Wii. These are all games that are played NES style in almost the exact same manner they were played 20 years ago.
Yep.
25 years ago in some cases.
Same with Castlevania and Blaster Master.
You got Castlevania. Mega Man 9. Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's what they got going right now. More than anything else, that's what they got going right now. It's really bizarre, but kind of great.
Well, let's move on to a fighting game that I guess uses non-traditional controls. That would be Sega and High Voltage Software's Tournament of Legends, which was formerly Gladiator AD, which,
is
as
this
I'm
the
sure,
ball stomping
and anyone
game?
Who... What?
Yeah.
Is this the ball stomping game?
Yes, this is the ball stomping game. As I'm sure you've, you know, if you saw any of the videos about the game, there was a sequence in this game at E3 in which there was a finishing move where one gladiator knocks another gladiator down and picks up his legs, looks at the crowd, they're all cheering, and then proceeds to stomp the guy's balls for about 10 to 15 seconds.
That's awesome. I mean, it's not, but it is.
It was extremely uncomfortable, but very, very funny. However, I don't think we're going to be seeing the nut-stomping sequence in this game, as it's going to be a teen-rated game from what we know.
Oh.
It's no longer gladiatorial-styled, and it's more fantasy, mythological, like you'll play as like a Gorgon.
Not to be confused with a Gorgon.
Yes, with a Gorgon. Gorgon.
Andy can turn things to stone by gazing at them.
Jared Rosenberg actually got to play this at a recent event, and he seemed to think that it was pretty promising. I know it uses the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck, I guess to represent each arm, and you can do some pretty cool special moves, and it looks like it might be good. It's coming out on May 18th, so it's in the Punch-Out slot.
Oh, nice.
I kind of feel like there's not very much room for error when it comes to 3D fighters these days, because with 3D fighters, you have games like Soul Calibur and Virtua Fighter who do them so incredibly well.
I don't think it's going to be like that as much. I don't know.
I think it'll probably be closer to like Mortal Kombat, like the newer Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah,
the one
probably.
Thing is that, like, I mean, Jared, I know he tried to get video, but they didn't give any video. I think we might have more screens up, but even still, like, I can't even really picture like how this game looks when you're playing it.
Yeah.
I assume that it's kind of behind the back, like it was at E3, but I don't even know if that's the case anymore. I think it might be like it's not quite Punch-Out style, but I think it's still similar to like a third-person game.
Sure, sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm definitely interested in this game, but I would say after the Conduit and being a little bit disappointed with that, I'm a lot more cautious with my interest in this game. I mean, I think it'll be cool, but it's just, will it be $50 cool? Is
right.
My question.
You know, speaking of High Voltage.
Yes.
Moving on to the next news story.
They have the Grindr, which was their Left 4 Dead-esque game that was announced. It was also shown off at E3. Me and a couple of the staffers, we got to see a little bit of it, although I caught the tail end of that. And basically, it's like Left 4 Dead, but instead of just zombies, there's also like vampires and shit like that. It seemed like a pretty cool idea. It was, you know, Wii exclusive. Not anymore.
Say
the Grindr. The Grindr is going multi-platform. It's going to come out. I think they're saying Halloween 2011. So we are not going to be seeing this game for a very long time.
Wow. Dang.
The one thing that I don't get about this is that, like, it seemed like it would have been the Wii Left 4 Dead, and I don't think High Voltage has the fortitude or anything to compete with Valve when it comes to Left 4 Dead.
Few do.
No, I tend to agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think this would be a really cool Wii game. I just think it'll fall really flat. It's definitely going to fall flat on 360, and I think even PS3, I mean, they don't have Left 4 Dead. However, they still have a bajillion other first-person shooters.
Right.
And I think John Lindemann pointed this out in his review, or at least sometime when he was talking about The Conduit, is that The Conduit very much felt like it was a first-person shooter game made by people who had never made a first-person shooter before. And it seemed entirely right. It really seemed like a rookie attempt at a first-person shooter, and I don't think that shit's going to cut it on any other system but Wii, and they couldn't even conquer the Wii market that way, although that could also be how it was marketed as well. It's not all at the fault of High Voltage.
I'm happier and happier that I never tried The Conduit, because, you know...
It's not that it's
four
bad,
months
it's
later,
that...
6 months later, however long it's been, I hear nothing but bad things.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if you heard the episode of RFN that I was on, Zach, but I talked about The Conduit fairly extensively about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on RFN.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think the game has gotten a bit of a bad rap, because it's really not bad. It's a pretty good game. It just didn't live up to what people were hoping it would. And
yeah, because really, I mean, I think the blame kind of goes onto IGN, I guess, because they kind of pimped it up way too much. And I think then the community around that rose up to it. And I think that's what happened, is that there was so much hype behind that game. And like the presence of that game at E3 was pretty big. High Voltage had a freaking booth of their own That was basically the conduit. It was 12 player online matches for the conduit. It was a big part of Sega's booth. I mean, there was a lot invested into this game, and I think it's just the hype was too high in this case. I feel like if this game was, I mean, I don't think it would have really found its market if it wasn't marketed at all.
That's
but I feel
true.
Like if it was just a little less hype, it would have been more of, you know, a pleasant surprise, a little cult game instead of being this kind of, I don't want to say flop because I don't think it like sold terribly. I just don't think it sold that good.
Well, I'm just saying this, Zach. I paid $12.99 for this game, and I do not feel like I overspent.
Okay.
The online shit, though.
That's
more of my experience with online because probably the first couple times I tried to play it, I just looked at a screen pointing up to the ceiling.
Well, Andy, here's my question for you. I'm not expecting Modern Warfare 2. None of us should be. But, you know, I still go back and play Turok 1 on my Nintendo 64 and love it.
I think you, Zach, if you can find this for like $10, it'd probably be enjoyable just for the single player. Because the single player, I mean, it's not amazing, but especially near the end, it picks up and is pretty fun.
Okay, cool.
It's just that there's not a lot else like it on the Wii. There's no other. There's very few.
Unless you're playing Modern Warfare.
Competent first person shooters. I mean, yeah, Modern Warfare probably.
I would definitely say for playing both the Conduit and Modern Warfare Reflex, Modern Warfare Reflex is a better game. The online in that game is kind of like a not even really a nutted version of, you know, Modern Warfare. It's a pretty good duplicate of the online multiplayer in Modern Warfare 1. Whereas the Conduit doesn't really work as well as I think they hoped.
Well, I'll pick it up if I see it cheap, because I kind of would like to see what it's all about.
And let's get on to a game that I think will become a very, very big online game.
Oh,
if
yes.
It gets marketed well, which I think it is going to get marketed pretty well from how Nintendo and Capcom both seem to be behind it, and that game is Monster Hunter Tri, which it's going
to
use Wii Speak, so there's at least three developers that know that Wii Speak exists. Monster Hunter Tri, it's also going to come in we talked about this last episode. There's going to be a Class Controller Pro bundle. You can get it in white or black. I don't know exactly what color comes with the bundle. I know the bundle is
black.
Okay, you can get a black Class Controller Pro with the bundle for $10 more, and the Pro is $20 other than that. And you can also use Wii Speak in this game, which is pretty fantastic. And I know our own John Lindemann is organizing an NWR hunting party that I think
I'm all about
Zach
that.
And I will both be joining.
Hell yeah.
And I implore all the readers out there to join us when it comes out, because if this actually does get off the ground, then this is a must-buy for me. I think if it doesn't seem like this is going to work out, I probably won't buy the game.
Fighting dinosaurs with swords, baby.
Hell yeah. And let's get to the forum quotes on this one, and then we'll talk about it more in-depthly. Killer Manjaro says that it's a day-one purchase for him now. I'll now say it not in the third person. Day-one purchase for me now. I have been able to resist WeSpeak until now, but this game is the sort of thing that this piece of hardware is made for. Classic Controller Pro tempts me as well.
Oh, yeah.
And additionally, TJ Spike says about Monster Hunter Tri selling 1 million in Japan, which is a pretty damn high number, and hopefully it'll, you know, vote the same way in North America. I would also point out, though the console Monster Hunter games have never sold well, according to Famitsu, the first Monster Hunter PS2 game, released in 2004, sold 288,000 copies in Japan. The PS2 version of Monster Hunter G, released in 2005, sold 237,000 copies in Japan. Monster Hunter 2 Dose, released in February 2006, sold 692,000 copies in Japan. So, I mean, that definitely bodes well for the series in Japan.
But isn't there one on the PSP that's downloadable?
Yeah, I guess TJ Spike did not find the sales for that. But
I'm half tempted to try that.
Big deal in Japan. I mean, the series is a pretty big deal in Japan, right? So if it's not selling well in the console versions, which version is the big deal?
Monster Hunter Tri is the big deal.
I guess it is. Huh. I mean, it sold a million.
Was there a handheld version of it before
yes,
the PSP?
Yes, there was a PSP. No, yeah, that's what it is. It's huge on PSP in Japan.
Okay.
Oh.
Because, you know, ad hoc
parties
actually
happen. Well, I think it has a persistent online mode there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think the thing is that in North America, it's not online per se. It's the ad hoc party, which is kind of like
It's a PSP
is,
PS3 trickery wizardry, if you will.
Well, no, like now you can do that. Now you can do that. And you can go online with it. But I think in Japan, it works well because of the closer proximity of everyone.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm half tempted to
check
that out.
It's more of like a non-online multiplayer for the DS. I think
local.
That's what it is.
Local. Gotcha.
Yes. But I mean, I know really that we speak Capcom's just the way that they are pimping everything. You know,
I'm in love
versus
with
Capcom with the online mode. They're adding into Wii Speak, the Monster Hunter Tri. I have the utmost respect for this company right now, and I haven't really been that interested in Monster Hunter Tri, and just slowly over time, I've been getting more and more interested, and I think this is probably going to be a purchase for me, because I think I will probably end up, it's the kind of game I could get into a lot, and just haven't had the group online to play it, and hopefully I will.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know, Zach, you're kind of in the same boat that I am, Zach. Andy, are you thinking about buying it at all? Or?
I'll tell you this much. I don't buy very many games on day one these days, mainly because I just don't have the funds.
Yeah,
for
me
it.
Too.
But I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Right now, I'm kind of like saving all my video game dollars for a eventual PS3 purchase. But
yes.
But I may have to.
How far are you into that, by the way?
23%. Thanks for asking.
Yes.
Nice.
$69.
Add Sheeran to that pile, man. Add Sheeran to that pile.
Yeah, that's the plan. and I'm hoping to pick up BioShock 2 used from a friend who's going to buy it new and then play it.
Oh yeah, BioShock.
Yeah,
too,
I know that's
man.
That's been tempting me a lot. If I had the time, I would be definitely all over BioShock 2 and buying it.
Yeah.
But
so between
I'll just wait until it's cheaper and I actually have more time.
So between Monster Hunter Tri, BioShock 2, and my annual July purchase of NCAA football, I'm trying to avoid buying too many games above the say $20 price point. If it gets good reviews, and there's going to be a strong NWR online presence, I may have to bite on it.
Yeah. But let's move on from Monster Hunter Tri as we are running a little long here, but
no.
That happens.
Last
story and Xenoblade were both announced in Japan. The last story is from Mistwalker, that's founded by Hironobu Sakaguchi. I think I'm pronouncing that right. He formed Mistwalker. He was formerly of Square Enix, worked on Final Fantasy. They did Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey for Xbox 360. And the last story, if you can tell by the kind of, I guess, not too hidden name, it's kind of billed as the Wii's Final Fantasy. Get it? Final Fantasy, last story. But,
I see what they did there.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not. There's not too much known about the last story, but I'm definitely interested in what happens. Blue Dragon, I played a little bit of. I enjoyed Lost Odyssey. I've always wanted to play some, but I mean, I'm down for a high quality RPG coming from a high quality developer coming out on the Wii.
You know, they'll be able to make a prequel to that pretty easily.
Yeah, the first story.
You're quick.
Maybe the second story, and then we can have the first story later.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do
or maybe just the next to last story.
the penultimate story.
Last story, too.
The last story, too. This time we're serious.
But the other game that was announced was Xenoblade, which actually was Monado. I think Monado, the Beginning of the World, which is from Monolith Soft. Who they did the Xenogears
right.
Saga.
Are these games all linked up? Are they exist in the same world or anything? The Xeno
I don't
games?
Think so. I think it's just that they were both kind of announced at the same time.
Gotcha.
Oh, gotcha. Wait, you mean the Xenogears
yeah,
Saga?
Yeah.
As far as I know, I actually included this in the show notes with this, is that this is from Monolith Soft. It used to be Monado. There was an E3 trailer, and other than that, pretty much nothing. From what I think I heard something, I forget, it may have been Iwata who said this, and that the name change was because the guy who made Xenogears is working, like, people who made Xenogears are working heavily on this, and they kind of wanted to name it Xenoblade and have the Xeno name on it, harkening back to that.
Gotcha.
And the way I'm looking at that is basically it's a marketing ploy.
Oh,
fair enough.
Sure.
I'll take it.
Like, I mean, you think about it, oh, Xenoblade, well, I liked Xenogears, I'll get Xenoblade.
Did the Xenogears and the Xenosaga, are those games related?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I played some of Xenogears, like, 15 years ago or whenever it came out. And Xenosaga never really interested me. I heard they were very talky.
Yeah.
JRPG.
I mean, once again, it's another RPG coming to the system, and I'm definitely intrigued. I would love to see more.
Seriously, this is kind of a bizarro world. We're drowning in RPGs on Wii, it seems, all of a sudden.
And then there's also more information about Metroid Other M. There was a teaser site went up, and there was kind of a release date. I believe it's pegged for August, which goes in line with pretty much any predictor worth his salt's prediction, because I think August is just like Metroid month for some reason. But Metroid Other M, there's a teaser site, but right now there's just like some like sad piano music and like some Japanese woman saying, "That dream, it was like watching a playback of a tragedy that actually occurred."
That's awful writing.
Yes. I mean, it's a translation, but still.
Oh, okay. You know, people are freaking out on the forums about Metroid Other M maybe possibly having a storyline. God forbid. I don't understand that at all.
Really? I don't give a shit. As long as the case is fun.
I kind
that's
of
that's what Greg and John said on RFN, but
I kind of understand
these complaints. I don't think I've gone to that part of the new RFN, but really, I mean, my point of view on it is like, you know, like Team Ninja can add whatever the hell story they want into the game, and I'll probably still be like, oh, well, that's cool, you know, more about Samus, whatever. Like, okay, maybe it's ruining the mystique of the character a little bit. Maybe a lot of people are drawn to it because of that. But really, I like Metroid a lot, kind of because of the setting, but mainly because the gameplay is rock solid, tight, fantastic. Like, no. That's what carried the Prime series, that's what carried Super Metroid, that's what's carried the series.
Can't we have both?
And as long as they have gameplay that is reminiscent of Super Metroid and the Metroid Prime series and the entire universe, and I think with Sakamoto, you know, running the show, I think we're going to see something probably more along the lines of Zero Mission, which Zero Mission, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't have a huge story in it, but
no.
Like Fusion, there was actually kind of a Samus as a character was there.
Yeah.
But I think he said it's going to be more like Fusion in terms of story.
Yeah, I know Sakamoto said that. And really, like, okay, Fusion was still a solid game.
Yes. Now, and, here's the question, though, before we move on. It's Team Ninja. Will they be giving Samus breast physics?
I don't think Samus is going to have big boobs in this game.
I don't think so either. I think that's going to be kiboshed by Nintendo, and I think that was more of an Itagaki thing than a Team Ninja
thing. Definitely.
Itagaki's gone, so.
That's right.
Well, I mean,
that's the thing. I think we might see other characters in the game with unnaturally large breasts, but I don't think Samus herself.
Amazingly enough, it's actually a legitimate concern. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. If you put her in a suit, it just doesn't work.
She was pretty racktastic in Smash Bros., though.
Yeah.
I mean, if they put her in the Zero suit, then bets are off. As long as she's in the Varia suit or what have you, you know,
maybe
you
she'll play
can't
some
really
volleyball.
Have that.
Maybe she'll play some volleyball.
There you go.
Hey-o.
Exactly,
back,
Andy.
Put her in the next one, man.
Kick back on a beach somewhere on SR 388. Pose to the camera a bit. Metroid Other DOA.
Here's me.
Metroid Other
Here's me, Norfair.
Good lord. All right,
let's
quickly...
And let's
kind
of wrap up, I mean, just while we're on the subject of Nintendo, there's been a lot of rampant speculation about, is there going to be a new system announced soon? And supposedly Miyamoto said something about how they're working on another Motion Plus title besides Zelda.
Boy, thank God.
I mean, it's about frickin' time, but, I mean, that's good news. And what do you guys think about this new system stuff?
Wii Motion
do you think
Plus
we're actually
is
gonna
new Wii Speak.
I don't expect to see any sort of legitimate new console or handheld from Nintendo in 2010.
No, me neither.
I think it's wishful thinking. The systems are selling just fine. Isn't there news right now of a Wii shortage? I don't think we've run on our site, but I've seen it on other sites. There's a Wii shortage right now. So if there's a Wii shortage, why would anybody think about making a different version of the Wii? I could maybe see some sort of a inkling on the DS successor, but I just don't think that hardware is... It's selling too well.
I don't think we're going to hear anything until E3 at the earliest. I know some people are kind of thinking GDC. I don't think that's the case. I think E3 might hear some kind of peep about a DS successor. Where
GDC is not the place to announce new hardware.
Yeah.
GDC really isn't the place to announce anything. They just happen to do it anyways.
They did Spirit Tracks.
They really shouldn't.
Arcade.
It's not and meant the SD to card be a press solution. Conference, but whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll announce a Wii that has anti-aliasing.
All right. Well, that's it for that. I mean, it was just kind of a quick note. And now with more quick notes, we have Quickies, which seemed to get a good response last time. So let's run down the list. Scribblenauts sold 1 million copies, which good for them. I wish the game was better.
Yeah,
me too.
I wish it was more of a game and less of a, hey, guys, look, I can put a big giant dragon in here and then shoot it with a gun.
It sold $1 for every useless thing in the game you can draw.
There you go.
Hey-o. And then also, speaking of Metroid, Yoshio Sakamoto, the creator, one of the creators of Metroid, he's going to be talking at GDC, which I don't think that has anything to do with any kind of new system, but I mean, it's still interesting to see that maybe he'll be talking more about Other M. I think he's going to be talking about, working on Metroid, WarioWare, and what is that, Tomodachi Collection? Or whatever, and talking about how that all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Could be pretty cool. Maybe we'll hear more about Other M, which I know we're all chomping at the bit for information about that.
Yep.
And I'm probably going to butcher the hell out of this name, but Akira Yamaoka, he's a former Konami employee who worked in the Silent Hill series back in its beginnings. He left Konami, I think, earlier this year, and now he's joining Grasshopper Manufacture.
Wasn't he the composer?
Yeah, he also did the music for the series. I know he was also... He was a producer on it for a long time. I don't think he did anything with Shattered Memories. I could be wrong about that, though.
I really like the music and that he did in the Silent Hill games. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's with Grasshopper now, so he's working with Suda51, supposedly on their EA Partners project that Shinji Mikami is working on. He directed Resident Evil 4, I believe.
Oh, nice. That could be interesting.
So, And Trauma Team, Atlas's, medical game, delayed from like a March, April to release to May. I think it's actually coming out on May 18th, the same day as Tournament of Legends.
Hmm.
So, if you guys were pressed, what would it be? Trauma Team or Tournament of Legends?
Trauma
if you had
Team.
To buy one.
Trauma Team.
Yeah, I think I'd have to say Trauma Team. I actually just bought Trauma Center New Blood, $10 off a new egg. So,
I
might be trying
that
out.
A really long time. I've been kind of thinking I should pick one up again. I played the
DS
one.
I don't know if
the
deal is still a new egg, but you can get Trauma Center New Blood for about $11 with shipping.
I should do that.
Finally, we have THQ is bringing Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy to Wii and DS.
Yes!
In all honesty, okay, not really a huge announcement, but it was teased that they might be trying to use Wii Speak with Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, which, holy shit, another company knows about Wii Speak? Nintendo's got to keep those documents locked up. There's
only
too many people that know about it.
Only
right
third
parties
know about Wii Speak. Nintendo is unaware of it.
But I really, like, in all honesty, if they have Wii Speak in these games, I would be very tempted to at least get Jeopardy. I know Jeopardy for original Nintendo,
Jeopardy.
I still break out from every now and then, although I don't think they'll be able to replicate the creepy, smiling guy that is in those old NES games.
It could be fun to use the Wii Remote to spin the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
like, could. I definitely, like, those would be the kind of games that if they showed up at E3 or something, I'd be playing the crap out of them.
They could have a Jeopardy tournament at E3. That'd be awesome.
Hell yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the new releases. Still not really that much. I mean, once again, it's second Christmas elsewhere, but it's not really second Christmas on Wii DS. We got Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll from Sega.
Yawn.
It's for Wii. It uses the balance board. I guess that's cool. I think the coolest thing about this is that they ditched Dole Bananas for Chiquita Bananas.
Oh, man. Burn.
I mean, that sucks for Dole, man. I was always a fan of Dole. I guess now I'll have to go to Chiquita. And anyone who's local to New York City, there's an event this Saturday where you can meet I the Monkey and Miss Chiquita. I will not be going because I have better things to do, but, it could be fun for you.
If you bring Gon Gon, I'm there, but with I, no thanks.
Yeah, I always like the baby. That's just me.
The baby was named Baby.
Yeah, strangely enough, his name was Baby. And everyone that was introduced, like, after the second one, like, no, they don't exist.
Yeah.
We also have Percy Jackson... Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief for DS. It's an RPG. It's based off of the movie, which comes out this Friday. It came out this week. Other than that, we got Sheer and the Wanderer, which we've talked about prior. And that's from Atlas. And
finally, hold on, before you say the name of this next game, Neil, I just have to prep myself because it's so exciting.
Seen it Twilight.
Oh yes, my gosh,
Came out on Wii earlier.
There is so many things wrong about a Scenic game on the DS, especially one that focuses exclusively on Twilight.
Well, it's because, you know what? Goth kids have DSs.
Yeah, I guess the market's there, but wow. How do you play Scenic on the DS? First of all, it's a multiplayer board game. Are you required to have more than one DS to get any enjoyment out of it, or do you have two screens?
Andy,
I don't think we should argue about
point.
This too much and just let Konami get their free money.
You're thinking about it too much, Andy. It involves that dude, the
Robert
Pattinson.
Robin Patterson.
That's all
that
you need to know. That's why I'm buying it.
Well, I'm canceling my pre-order.
All right. And now moving on to the downloads. We have on DSiWare, I'll just kind of run down this list. We got Oscar in Movie Land, which apparently is a sequel to Oscar in Toy Land. Don't know much about that. We have Field Runners, which I think is supposed to be a pretty good iPhone tower defense game, which is coming to DSiWare for 500 points. Sudoku Four Pockets, which is a Sudoku game. Extreme Hangman, which is from Game Lion. They're working on Furry Legends. We have an interview with them from a while back. I recommend checking that out, and I don't know if I can really recommend you getting this game. I haven't heard good things so far. We also have True Swing Golf Express from Nintendo, which is an express version of True Swing Golf. We have Legends of Exidia, which is a Game Loft game that supposedly is like Secret of Mana, but shit. We have Downtown Texas Hold'em, Move Your Brain, Roll Away Puzzle. I don't know what that is.
That's
and
just
five
as many words
solitaire.
As they can get in the title.
And we have another Nintendo one, Lincoln Launch, which is from Intelligent Systems and is basically like Pipe Dreams but with rockets.
Whoa.
Which I'm definitely tempted by it, but I made reference to this earlier about how I'm kind of burnt out on DSiWare puzzle games.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think I might be passing, even though anything that Intelligent Systems touches is usually gold. Any other thoughts on the DSiWare lineup? Board,
not really.
Tire?
Shantae's not there.
Yeah, Shantae is not there. On Virtual Console, we have Princess Tomato and the Salad Kingdom, which is a Hudson Soft game on the original NES. It's apparently a text adventure, so it's kind of cool. I've heard kind of good things about it, but I don't know if it's really my kind of bag. I've never been a big text adventure guy, although I guess I'm eating my words by playing Ace Attorney. And we also have Alex Kidd in Shinobi World on the Master System, which I think is not really a good game.
It's like a parody of Shinobi, as I understand it.
Yeah. I know Alex Kidd went to a lot of places, and I think some of those games were good and some of them were bad. I think this one was bad. And on WiiWare, we have Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 5, which is the conclusion of that. That's cool. I think this already came out on PC a while ago, though. I don't really know the delay. So that's kind of lame. We have Tumblebugs 2. I was not aware of a Tumblebugs 1. There's also 5-in-1 Solitaire, which, for you keeping score
wait,
at home, 5-in-1 Solitaire also came out on DSiWare.
Wonder which one's cheaper.
Yeah.
DSiWare one.
And which one makes more sense? For WiiWare, we also have Hubert the Teddy Bear Winter Games, which is from our friends over at Taeon, and it looks to be you play as Hubert the Teddy Bear, and you, like, go sledding and shit.
Oh, boy.
I guess I can get behind that a little bit. I had a
no,
lot of
you
fun
can't.
With
don't
game.
Lie with me. Look, don't lie to us.
I had fun with those winter game things on NES, but more because they were freaking terrible and not because they were
so
good.
So bad.
I just remember, I forget the NES game specifically, but there was one that was specifically bad that my cousin had, and we would play for way, way too long. Moving down, we also have Balloons.
Tower Defense.
Always with the goddamn Tower Defense games.
Yeah, it's a Tower Defense game. I believe I played this online for at least an hour at work at one point. So.
I did as well.
Yeah, I think it was fun. I don't really remember.
Balloons
they
2
all
was
blend
better.
It. They all blend together.
Yeah.
And then we have two interesting games. Tamina Center, which is like a $5 game in which basically it's just like you're, I think, an employee at a business, like a dude in a suit, and you're running around, and all you do is hit A to jump over things, and depending on when you hit A, like, funny shit happens.
So it's like Brick.
I don't think... Yeah, I guess so.
Huh.
But it's basically like, it's like you're just constantly moving, and all you do is hit one button to jump over things, and depending on how you time your jumps, things happen, and it's supposedly funny. I mean, for $5, it looks like it could be entertaining in a Muscle March sort of way. And finally, we have the Newscast Game Club first game, Blaster Master Overdrive, which now, for our final segment, we will talk about this in greater detail. For those of you who are unaware, this is our Newscast Game Club. This is the first time we're doing this, and what we're going to do is we're going to pick a recently released WiiWare game and play it with you, the listeners, as long as you comment in the forum thread, which is in the podcast discussion thread. We also have a link on the home on the main page right now. It's stickied there. I'll probably, I guess, renew the sticky so that way it'll be up when this is actually posted online.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is talk about the game. This week we're just going to kind of go over the game's basics as we haven't gotten that far in it, and next week we'll have a wrap-up on it with, you know, we'll have two weeks under our belt and hopefully beat the game by then. And there's a potential that we might be talking to someone from Sunsoft in a special episode, and I think if we were to do that, that might be next week, but that's, I'm still waiting to hear back. So let's talk about the game. What are you guys' experience with Blaster Master Overdrive?
I like the game. Overall, I like the game, but it's going to take a lot of getting used to. I really don't like the control scheme. I don't understand why you can't play it on the classic controller.
The controls are so shitty.
So shitty.
I wouldn't say they're so shitty. They're just, there's a couple of things that really, really stick out like a sore thumb, and one of them is the strafing mechanic.
Yeah, which I haven't tried yet because I didn't know you could do, but the way you described it, holding down B does not sound fun.
No. It hurt my hands. I mean, really, it was the first boss especially, which is this big scorpion boss that I think Zach actually hasn't been able to beat, I'm holding the B button, I'm switching between weapons with A, and I'm trying to move around with the D-pad.
Switching weapons
with A is
the worst. I only
have two available fingers there, unless...
I hate switching weapons with A. I hate it. I hate it so much.
This is a case where customizable controls or shit, even classic controller support, would have made this not a problem, and this game would have been spectacular.
And moving through the caves, that needs to be an analog stick.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really does. But, okay, aside from the shitty controls, I love how it looks. I like the music. I generally like the sound effects, except it's kind of annoying hearing the tank roll around for, you know, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think actually John Lindemann made a comment about that in the forums. Yeah, really, it is kind of annoying, actually. I turned down the volume eventually.
Yeah. And I think once I get used to all this, I think I'll like it more. I really like the presentation. I just have to get used to it, you know.
Did you guys think it was weird that the okay and cancel buttons are seemingly...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Where it said press 1 on the screen, and I'm like... Wait, no, I should be pressing 2 or the plus button.
I didn't save. The first time I tried to save, I didn't realize that I never saved. Yeah. I lost progress because I hit the 2 button to save, and it didn't save.
Yeah, if they're trying to replicate the NES controller, 2 is A, 1 is B.
Yeah, that did bug me.
Again, messed up control scheme.
Yeah, I think customizable controls would have made this not a problem. But other than that, like, the game is very fun. It's reminiscent of the original, but I don't think it's as much of like a remake as some people may have been led to believe. I mean,
no memories of the original.
Yeah, I do kind of remember it, and I don't remember it being like this. I mean, it plays the same, but as far as the layout and everything.
The game has a lot of features that feel like NES features, like the flight patterns of the enemies feel distinctly NES.
And I have to say, I remember in the NES game is that the enemy's AI was kind of like cool, and that it was pretty well done for its time, and that seems to be the case here. But and the cool thing that I like is that you see an enemy and you attack each enemy in a different way, because you know, like, okay, if I jump down here, then they're going to go nuts and chase me, or I can lead them off the cliff that way, or if I get close to this guy, he'll jump up in the air. And I really like that, because it's kind of like you don't... It's like each enemy has personality in that regard.
Yeah. I really do like the game quite a bit. Like, I like the animation of the tank just feels very cool. I don't like not being able to fire downward at all. It feels cheap, when you have to explore downward and there's an enemy on the ledge and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
That really, especially in a game where there's no save points right around every corner, you know, you may have to go down to get to a save point and you can't do it because you're stuck having to jump on top of an enemy to get there.
I know I was very much angry in the beginning and thinking it was very unforgiving. But once I kind of got into the pattern of like, all right, I got to go from save point to save point, it really does become kind of Metroid, more Metroid-esque in that means, except for I still think it's obnoxious where you have this huge hit point bar and like you're only filling up not even a quarter of it at the start.
Well, I think the idea is you gain upgrades throughout the course.
Yeah, I know you gain upgrades, but I just wish you didn't have that daunting bar at the start. I wish they kind of cut it down. And also I found that actually the bar on the screen would kind of get in the way of where I wanted to go.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like if you're going to the top, then that top bar at the top like would kind of get in the way. And really, I mean, we're nitpicking it. I think this game is really, really solid, totally worth $10. I'm on area three right now. I've gotten to water, which...
I'm kind of unsure about the purpose of the energy bar.
I think that's going to become... Like, how far have you gotten into the game?
I'm about midway through the second. I've made it to the portal to the second boss, but I have chosen not to go in yet because I want to do more exploring and hopefully upgrading.
Okay. But, I know it seems like the purpose of the energy bar is that as you get upgrades at the end of every boss, it seems, that upgrade Sophia, your
yes.
ship, or your core, or whatever, your assault vehicle.
Your boat.
And, like, the first one that you get, this is the only one I'll mention you, so you guys can all be unspoiled, is, like, it's a grappling hook. And when you use the grappling hook, it takes away a little bit of the energy. And if you notice, like, you can't, like, just spam the grappling hook. Like, you can only use it once, and then you have to let it recharge, depending on how much energy you have. And when you use your gun, it also takes away from the energy. But it really, like, you have to rapid-fire that gun for a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think as you get more and more power-ups for your car, then the energy becomes more to play, and you want to refill it. But, I mean, it's just... I don't know. There's a few little game design things that I think I can nitpick, just as, like, kind of how they have these giant bars for both things.
What are the differences between the blue and red health pickups? Is it just amount of health they refill?
Yeah, I think there's, like, small and large, like S and L.
Okay.
I was reading that in the operations guide, because I played the game for a while, then was like, oh, I'll read the operations guide. I heard it was
I really
funny.
Should do that. I actually, one of the things that I did that I think made the game more enjoyable to me personally was I have a setting on my television that will automatically expand the picture if there's any black on the sides or the top or the bottoms or the left or the right. So I let it automatically expand the game for me because the game runs natively in 4:3 and there's no way to change that and it looks
there's
really
no widescreen
squished.
Support.
So I let my TV do the widescreen support for me and it looks way, way better. I love it. I can't fathom playing this game in 4:3. It just feels too small.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, like, I can't talk enough about how great this game is. I mean, there's definitely the controls really, really bother me. I wish they were customizable. Like, there's just definitely some questionable choices made in this game, game design-wise, but it's a really cool game. And,
well, I mean, the game...
I'm enjoying it a lot.
We didn't know the game was coming out until, like, 2 days before it launched. I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes you really happy because you didn't really have even any time to process it, and suddenly you're playing it.
I mean, they hinted at it before. Like, I know Victor Ireland, the guy from Working Designs who's heading up Gaijin Works, who basically brought Sunsoft back to life in the USA... I know back when they first did that, they were talking about how they would do remakes and sequels to these games on WiiWare.
I believe,
and he kind of he basically did. I don't think he said it overtly, but he basically said like, we're going to be looking at the sales of Blaster Master and Virtual Console and see how it goes.
Well, Blaster Master on Virtual Console has been out for like a month, maybe longer than that, but not much longer.
Yeah.
So clearly, this game was already in development when he made that comment.
Yeah, I mean, you even made the comment about how it said there's a 2009 copyright on the game.
Yeah, it's been done for a little while. Right?
Although, to be fair, Ace Attorney Investigations also has a 2009 copyright on the game.
I don't really know much about the amount of time it takes between a game being finished and showing up for download, but...
I think it's quite a long time, actually,
developers. We know Cave Story has been, I think, more or less done for a long time. I mean, the game was released on PC years and years ago. All they had to do was just tweak it a little bit.
Well, no, I think there was a lot of tweaking that went involved. And I think it may have been a money thing. I think that's why Cave Story is so delayed.
That could be. That could be.
And, but as far as I know, is it's pretty much done now, which every week.
Well, it's been reviewed, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been reviewed by Nintendo Power.
I can pretty much
Nintendo Power
is
having
that.
Another issue coming out after that.
I can pretty much promise you that Cave Story, unless it comes out, like, next week and we're still doing Blaster Master, Cave Story will be the next newscast game.
Now, in all honesty, if Cave Story comes out next week, it'll still be the next game. Just as a quick aside, and then we'll read some more forum comments, is that the way I think we're going to do this is, like, next week when we have a big conversation about Blaster Master, which I think will be more in depth and might go pretty long, is maybe we'll mention Cave Story and be like, okay, we're just starting playing this now and we'll do something
sure.
bigger next time. Hopefully we won't develop, hopefully we won't be having so many games coming out. We might have to, you know, pick and choose our battles.
I played the first, like, 20 minutes of the PC version, and it's great. Like,
I played some of the WiiWare version at, they actually had it, Nintendo did this thing in the fall where they kind of, like, went to, like, different conventions and stuff, and I was at something, like the Philly Video Game Expo or something, and Nintendo had a presence there. And on WiiWare, they had Pokemon Rumble and Cave Story, and I played Cave Story for about 15 minutes there and was really digging it, but I realized, like, I have to wait for this to come out on WiiWare.
Right,
that was
right.
almost 6 months ago.
But anyway, back to Blaster Master.
Sundilos says about Blaster Master Overdrive, "Well, I played enough to make it past the first boss. Boy, I wish. Once I realized that I could revisit caves for more weapon power-ups, I had an easier time with him. That's already one major change from the original game!" Exclamation point. "I'm sort of surprised that the game doesn't automatically prompt you to save after defeating a boss. I didn't notice a save portal in the cave with the boss either. There isn't one."
Yes.
Because there is none.
Yeah,
gotta love the
too.
Completely trite story setup. I didn't listen to it. I can't argue with a scientist who gets to use big guns and kick buttocks. Agreed.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I like the setup a lot. If you go into the operations guide, it's very, very humorous. They talk about how, like, this game is for kids and cool adults. And how, like, kids will dream up these mazes and stuff, and adults are no longer fun.
Right.
It's actually very funny. I recommend everyone read the operations guide for the story setup and the little, like, there's just neato facts.
Yeah, we have No Name 2200 or No Name 2200 from the comments. We have No Name 2200 from the forums who says, "I'm enjoying the remake quite a bit. It does have several downsides. The animation seems off to me. I miss the chibi dude in the overhead sections. The strafe and cancel buttons are idiotically placed."
Hell yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. "And why on earth did they include that stupid weapon recharge meter with the tank?"
I think that definitely gets explained later.
Yeah. "I wish the tank could jump a bit higher, as right now it feels like it's just doing short hops instead of full-blown jumps. I really like how the game lets you choose between three types of weapons at your leisure. The ability to shoot diagonally is also an overdue blessing, especially on a foot. My favorite feature is the permanent rewards for exploration. In the original, I'd hit up one or two caves to max out, then go straight to the boss, and the loss of weapon disincentivizes further exploration."
I mean, wow. I definitely think that's true, and I'm glad that they have those kind of permanent rewards, and that, you know, I will go into every cave because maybe there's a hit point boost or something like that.
Right.
Although
right.
it does piss me off when I go to a cave and there's nothing, and it's like, I just lost my level 5 weapon because of this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very, very excited to play more of this game. Right now, I'm in Area 3, which is like the subterranean water layer or whatever.
Right.
And there is water in this game, which water was present in the original Blaster Master. And I kind of have one huge complaint about this that frustrated me for a very long time. When there's a section in this, and like one of the first save points that I could find in Area 3, I went down to it. I had to take my guy out of the tank, go down a ladder, go underwater, and go into a cave and save there. And, you know, I went through the cave, fought the enemies, got the power up. And when I left, there was an enemy spawned right outside of it. And I didn't really have any kind of chance to fight this enemy. And every time I tried to escape, he would kill me instantly. So I basically, and also, in the water, you lose health, which maybe there's some kind of power up for the little guy later where he can actually, you know, breathe underwater, but this point in the game, he can't. So, you know, you lose health consistently. So basically what I had to do is I just had to camp, or I would basically spawn camp that that cave and go in and out and just get as much health as I could before I had full health again and could take a hit from the enemy and go under the water and escape. But it was ridiculously frustrating to do this.
Yeah, definitely.
And the shitty thing is that, like, if I couldn't camp that for health, I would have most likely had to restart my game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think my biggest complaint about the game, aside from the strafe button, which is just infuriating.
Oh, God.
And which ties into the classic controller support deal. I don't like the save point thing. I mean, there's enough save points, I suppose, but it's just frustrating when you beat a boss and then you die on the way back to
I wish there was, like, an auto-save at the end of a boss. That's really my one big complaint. Because there have been I haven't actually been screwed over this way, but after beating a boss, I'm low on health, and I'm just kind of like, oh, please don't die, please don't die. I'm, like, ready to cry if I get killed, especially after how brutal that first boss is. The second boss is, thank God, not as frustrating as the first boss.
Like, the punishment for dying is not that severe, because you go back maybe 5-10 minutes worth of gameplay, but...
Yeah, the save points are really frequent enough, and you can go...
Yeah.
You know, once you kind of get into the flow of the game, you'll know where they are, and, like, you go explore an area, you're like, okay, I'm about to fight a boss, so I'll go and save and power up.
It's pretty easy to die in this game. It doesn't take much. You have to be careful. You can't just jump around like you're playing Mario. You got to be really, really
careful.
Or even
like you're playing Metroid, which, I mean, definitely the comparisons to Metroid here are rampant and expected. But I think the thing in Metroid is I feel like it's easier to regain your health in Metroid than it is in this. That's my one big thing, and I feel like you have more health in Metroid.
Yep. Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah. I'm excited to play more of this, and we'll be, reading the forum thread. We'll be participating in it. I know I haven't actually posted anything yet. I probably will. Figured I'd save all my thoughts for the episode, and then have my thoughts after this go in the forum thread and talk to you wonderful forum readers. If you're not in the forums, you can go join them at NintendoWorldReport.com/forums. You can rate us on iTunes, NWR Newscast. Go, if you're listening to us, you probably already know we're there. Just, submit a little 5-star review, maybe 4-star if you don't like us that much. Anything under that, well, that's just plain mean. I don't think we're that bad. write a review if you want. It's a way that, more people can listen to us and, that's what we want. That's what we're in this for. We're not in it for money. We are in it for the glory, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. But
not the glory of Heracles.
Yeah, the glory of Heracles, which apparently isn't that glorious. Anyway.
No, I mean, we've gotten some iTunes reviews. It's always good to see. I always want more. Yeah. Comment in the TalkBack thread because we don't get tons of comments in the TalkBack thread, but I know there's some people out there who are listening, and it's always nicely appreciated when we hear feedback.
Yeah, even if you're like, man, I freaking hate that guy who was talking about Ace Attorney or something like that. Like, I mean, just really, we're looking for feedback and whatever you have. And if you have any requests, if you like the Game Club idea, if you hate it, if you don't like quickies, if you think it's offensive, if you think we're offensive, like really, whatever, we are here to mold to what you want because we're in it for you.
So yeah, get in touch.
Yeah. Yeah, that is all we've got for today.
We'll be in touch. We'll be in touch.
Yes. We'll always be in touch.
This is episode 11 wrap.
Yes. Till next time.
Thanks for coming along.
Bye, Zach.
Later, Zach.
Just the spice of it. All right, yeah. Bye, everybody.